So, we've covered a lot of territory so far in the 2 days that we've been here. And I know many of you have been coming to the practice sessions, and I'm not positive what's been done in the practice sessions, but I thought it might be nice to find out what questions you might have about what we have covered so far, because we're kind of going to shift gears today into some other areas. And you've had a chance to practice, you've had a chance to do things in class, some very powerful processes, and I hate to leave people with questions hanging before we move on. So, this is your opportunity to take a little bit of time and think about what questions do you have about the material that we've covered so far, which has been about outcomes, backtracking, the meta-model patterns of specificity, anchoring, learning how to do the guided search, collapse and integrate anchors, yesterday, change personal history. So you see what's left is we're going to be doing today. But about those things that we have already covered, especially the anchoring processes, what's happened with you, or what questions do you have about those?
Good stuff.
You're still sleeping.
Enjoy that hour.
I have a question. So how do we have the anchor last longer for ourselves? I mean, I know we can visualize that anchor, but how do we make it last longer? Does that make sense?
And which anchor are you talking about? Any anchor that you set with yourself?
Or myself, or to help the person that we're working with, help them last, keep it for a long
time. Yeah. How permanent do you think anchors are? Do you think you might have some anchors left from childhood that are still there? Absolutely. Go to back to school night. And the teachers all say that when the adults walk into the school and smell the smells and see the, I don't know if they're blackboards anymore, smell the chalk, the wax on the floor, that they immediately get kind of young and passive looking. So, and hospitals have certain smells that are often anchored that will last forever and ever. Tim and I discovered when we first started working together that I had an anchor to my name. I don't know if any of the rest of you have had this experience. The only time I ever got in trouble was I was called Susan with that tone of voice, Susan. So one day we were working in the office, and from the other room he hollered out, "Susan," and I went, "What?" He said, "Oh, that was a rather strange response. All I did was call out your name." And we played with it a bit and realized that I was anchored to hearing my name said in that way because it meant I was in trouble. Now, we discovered this when I was a 39-year-old woman, and this anchor had been set in childhood by my parents. And I know some people, I didn't have a middle name, so I know some people, when their middle name is added too, it's like, uh-oh, I'm really in trouble. And it elicits a certain state inside of you. So they can last a long time. And actually, that's not answering your question, but I'll mention, I think we have time today to do this process called couple anchoring, which is what Tim and I did to override that negative anchor to my name. So you can call me Susan and I won't bite your head off. Now, I still like to be Susie, but I won't bite your head off now like I did with him. So couple anchoring is one way you change that. But the way you make anchors last is to do future pacing. And the more contexts you think about using whatever you have anchored, so I've had you think about where are three circumstances where you would like to have this available to yourself. And when you put that into three different locations, it makes it that much more powerful. Now, next time, next module when I come back, we're getting into this whole idea of parts of ourselves and using all the various parts of us to help us. So the other thing I'll teach you next time is you elicit a part of you that will remember for you. So you don't have to consciously think about it. You go, is there a part that will help me in this circumstance remember this anchor? And then you can kind of let it go consciously. So I use parts a lot. You got what?
I have bacon on my ankles, my grocery list. So when I do the grocery store, I put it on different parts of my body. So I don't need a list. I walk and I look at my mother's bacon here, and that eggs. I got a gallon of milk on the side of my thigh. And so I memorize my grocery list. So I don't need a list.
Okay, all of you make pictures of that. That's really fun.
That's what I do.
So Manny, I've never had bacon on my ankle before. I've had a lot of things, or milk on my. That's cute. So, okay, so you will be, when Tim and Chris come, I think it's in module 4, they'll be talking about strategies. So Manny's saying, I've developed a strategy for remembering my grocery list. I put these things on different parts of my body, and that allows me, when I'm in the grocery store, to look at that part of the body and know what I need to get. So that's the way strategies work, and you're going to be learning how to create strategies. That's really cute. Yeah.
Oh. A strategy for intensifying the anchors or keeping them going is to fire the anchor whenever you're experiencing that state again, and that reinforces it.
Yes.
And if you've ever seen Tony Robbins do this, that's his anchor, and he teaches his trainers to do that. I spoke to one of his trainers about it, and so he instructs them to do that. To fire the anchor, but if they're going into that state and they're already there, like if they're training or something, hit their chest again, and it reinforces that anchor.
So you become conscious of that sort of thing. And another anchor I just might mention that oftentimes people have left over from childhood, and so I'm a little cautious about the pressure I apply when I'm doing an anchor right here under the, you know, around the elbow is oftentimes. Yes, you had that. Kids were grabbed, you know, by there. Or the hand thrust out like this. And so those, I mean, if they're unique, the more unique the anchor is, the longer it will last. And that's why, you know, I sometimes do kind of crazy things. These are unique, pushing your nose and things like that, because they won't be wiped off through experience. A handshake anchor, I mean, you get so many handshakes, it has less meaning because it's not unique at all. So thanks for sharing that, Damon. I've never seen Tony Robbins. In all these years, I have never seen Tony Robbins. So I know he's very effective at anchoring and using anchors. Yes, Dave.
Your song when we were singing it all night. Can we get some more songs today?
Well, you're going to get at least one, and since I'm coming back, you'll get three more, and we can sing more than that. Yes. So it was helpful. Yeah. Well, and all of you just, I don't want to put you on the spot, but look at Dave.
I know. What a difference today.
It's like your whole facial expression has shifted.
Happy in there.
Every cell in my body is happy.
Happy in
there. Very good.
Every cell in my body as well.
Yeah.
You can tell.
Yeah. Oh, right, that's a new addition to it. We can tell, yes. Okay, any other questions? How many, the question I have is, it's not here, how many people have actually had the chance to experience change personal history? Have it done with you? Oh, okay. So you didn't, okay. So you haven't practiced it yet? No, it's where, right. So you haven't practiced that yet? Okay, then we definitely need to start with that. I wasn't sure whether it had been done in practice sessions or not, but based on the fact that nobody's raising their hand, we will start with that, because then that might give you a lot more information. It's a powerful change process. And of course, a part of what you're learning here is how to communicate more effectively by utilizing the meta model and backtracking. And today we're going to do Milton model, which is the inverse of the meta model. When do you need to be appropriately vague with someone? And what's the difference? So that you understand those two different sets of language patterns that NLP is so known for. And we're also going to delve today into the land of submodalities. And I know Larry introduced it. I used to teach a 4-day class in London on submodalities, advanced submodalities. So you can spend a lot of time studying how your visual, auditory, kinesthetic, sometimes smell and taste, how the smaller chunks of those can make a difference in the way you experience the world. Because submodalities can be a part of everything else you do. So we're going to have a lot of fun. We'll play with the Milton model briefly. We will start right out with change personal history, because that's one that I want to make sure you know how to do. And if we don't catch things today, guess what? I get to come back next month, and I'll fit whatever we miss in the schedule so that you can have lots of experience with the change processes that use anchoring, as well as lots of experience with language patterns, because those are a part of what is often in every NLP process. So any more questions about what you've already learned? If not, going. Okay. Then, you know what we're going to be covering today? Let's have you find your mastermind groups and set intent, and then we'll come back and sing.